Here he is. We tracked him down. It's Gordon Keith.
What is going on, invasion?
What is going on?
How are you guys doing?
So good.
So fun.
I'm still here. I'll take it.
He's kind of dragging with the B team today. Poor man.
No. Good to talk to you both. Donnie is on vacation. Is that right?
He is. He's in Minnesota.
Why there?
He went to go see the Rangers play the Twins.
Okay.
Which I believe was his main motivation, and then they're going to go play golf at a couple of different courses. So
kind of random to just choose Minnesota. Like, even if it's cool and nice, like, it's a
yeah, was there some tie-in here? Does he have...
No, he was saying when the Super Bowl was up there, and they were walking across from wherever the stadium's connected to the ball field or something of that nature, and he was saying that Skyway, he was like, man, that stadium was gorgeous. And then he was telling me, because I went to Fenway in May to go see the Rangers play, he said that I inspired him, that he started thinking about it. He did. He literally said this.
That he wanted to take a baseball trip?
Yeah. He was like, man, that'd be cool to go see the Rangers play in stadiums that I've always thought would be cool to go to. So he looked into, he was considering going to Wrigley to see him play the Cubs, and he decided to go to Minnesota instead to Target Field to see him play the Twins. And then,
which is kind of the opposite of what you did, because you went to one of the oldest stadiums, right, and he's going to one of the newest.
Yeah.
I've done that before. I've done the see the Rangers in a foreign town.
On purpose?
Yeah. Yeah. I was in Boston. And
so you saw
them
at Fenway.
I saw them at Fenway and got to see the Green Monster. And, you know, yeah, that was really cool. It was a great experience. And of course, I go and watch them there, and I witnessed Ranger history. I watched Benji Molina hit for the cycle.
Whoa. Okay, all right.
Benji Molina, of all people, too.
Yeah, that's great.
The heavy set catcher.
Yeah, I remember him.
For the Rangers, and yeah, watched him hit for the cycle, and it was an amazing night. It was so exciting.
Yeah, the history of Fenway to me, like when we were up there a month ago walking around, because it's such a small park, and it's just in the middle of that neighborhood. And the one thing that tripped me out was the concourses that are basically underneath the stadium are so small, and the ceiling is so short. And I wonder if that's just because back in the 1900s when they were building it,
everybody was small.
Right. And they didn't
everybody was like 3-4 feet tall.
They weren't hobbits.
They were all Oompa Loompa level people.
Why
do you think that is? Why would they build those so short?
Well, we've gotten to where we just build things bigger now. We like...
But somewhat out of necessity, too, because, I mean, it is true that average people were smaller back. Not 3 feet, but...
Yeah, no.
Sure.
They were smaller.
But I would think that percentage-wise, our buildings and our homes and spaces have grown much higher percentage than our height has increased in that time.
We just like to take up space.
Yeah.
In any way we possibly can.
Heck, the size of the average U.S. home has gone up so much. When I look back at where my grandparents were living.
No, that's true. Yeah.
There was, I mean, like I would look and there would be like two or three families living in one home, particularly during like World War II when all the women would live together while the men were at war. But yeah, there would be so many people inside a 900 or 1,000 square foot home that only had one bathroom. And be like 15 people living there.
Shows up in cars too, like especially trucks. You look at a truck from like 1975 and look at a 2020 to 2015. They're massive now.
I know.
Like,
yeah,
huge,
like the
old
school F-150s were the size of the modern day Ford Ranger.
Right.
You know, the smaller truck now is the size of the big truck then.
Yeah, we always got to go bigger, I guess.
Yep.
Yeah,
not
it's kind of interesting.
In Texas either.
I didn't think about that with the houses because now it seems yards are way smaller than they used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of people live in those zero lot lines where you've got 5 feet of space or whatever it is between your house and the house next to you. And then if you want a bigger yard, unless you're going to live way out where there's new land, a lot of the times those are older homes that somebody flipped in a more spacious yard.
Right.
Because all the new builds in these general neighborhoods are massive homes that have zero yard.
Yeah. And I mean, no shade. Although that's all you get when you're stacked on top of each other's shit.
It's true, yes.
But yeah, I can't stand cramped
Yeah,
housing.
I like having some space. The neighborhood we live in, our house was built like in 1960, I think, and the yard is fairly, I mean, it's not like a massive yard, but it's a big yard for I feel like we don't have our neighbor right on us.
We've transitioned a little bit out of like building the houses directly next to each other. I feel like there's very few new neighborhoods that are popping up where there's 5 feet in between them. There's at least some space happening, at least out by us, where like you've got not a huge yard, but something that you can maintain and do something in. But when I was growing up, it felt like every neighborhood that was built in like 2003 had about 5 feet of space in between each house.
Well, you and can put more house in the neighborhood so the developer can build more homes and you make more money.
We love money.
You know, and I used to live in a neighborhood where it was built in like the 20s. And those were pretty close together too. Now, they were deeper lots, but yeah, 50-foot wide lots is what this was.
Jeez.
Which is not much.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like very big. I don't know what the lot is that we live on. It's in my head, it's like half an acre, but it isn't. I know it isn't. I have no concept of how an acre works.
Yeah, I think my parents have like...
It's like three football fields or something.
Three quarters of an acre?
That's what you think an acre is? Three football fields?
Well, how big is it?
An acre is about, I believe, about 44,000 square feet.
How large is an acre?
What does that mean?
Okay, so it's not even such.
Is it less than a football field?
No, a football field is
much less than a football field.
So officially an acre is 43,560 square feet and a football field is 48,000 square feet.
Okay.
So it's smaller than much smaller. Football field. So it's way smaller than three football fields, which is what I said. I don't know. I mean, how do I look at a yard and be like, oh, that must be
I probably would have said something similar if I were to take a real stab at it, a couple of football fields maybe. I have no idea.
Why do we call it even an acre? Why don't we just call it whatever the 40,000 square feet is?
Because people don't understand square feet.
People don't understand acres, apparently.
Or acres. Yeah, that's true.
So,
and nobody does.
I understand square feet more than I understand acre.
That one at least translates a lot better because, like,
it's... Do you know how big your home is?
I think we're just over 2,000, I want to say.
Okay, so you have a concept of what 44,000 square feet is.
But I couldn't tell you. But like, there's so much space in that house because does that include the garage? And then how
much. That shouldn't include the garage.
How much space do you actually have? Like, I don't know. So like, once you move all of your stuff in, now where am I sitting at?
Well, that's the same. Your square footage is the same whether you got stuff in the house or not.
I don't know. That refrigerator is big.
They don't deduct square footage.
They should. I should have to pay less.
When you have furniture.
For standard furniture, I should get a deduction off of that on the
price. Does the garage count in the square footage?
I don't believe it does.
No?
Good question. I guess it does. No, I guess it does.
Because then we're talking about, especially in Texas, that's a 700 less square feet? I have no idea.
Yeah.
So, like, now my 2,000 square foot home is actually really a 1,300 square foot home because I'm not living in the unair conditioned garage.
Actually, Google says.
Yeah, I think you have to go with air conditioned space. Yeah, that's what it is square foot.
Google says that the garage in most cases does not count in your square footage.
Well, I just looked mine up and it's just under 1,800 square feet for the house. But we have a lot that is the equivalent of 0.15 acres.
And then what do you do?
That's really small. But so that's 10,000 square foot lot.
It says the lot is 6620.
Oh, 6620.
But man, when I mow the backyard, it takes forever. Like our backyard is big.
The last house we lived in was on a corner of a cul-de-sac. So the front yard was massive.
Crazy.
It would take like 2-3 hours to do the front and backyard. Then we moved into the new spot. It's way more just a rectangle, and that takes like an hour to do the entire yard. So maybe I want a smaller yard. I don't really have time.
So you still do your own yard?
I do.
I do mine as well.
Yeah, but you make me nervous because I said, do you sharpen your own lawnmower blades? And he goes, wait, you have to sharpen them?
Yeah, I've never sharpened
them. Did I not tell you?
Are you serious?
Yeah. I usually when my lawnmower stops working for whatever reason, I just buy another lawnmower.
Okay, all right. I can't talk to you.
No, I remember whenever we talked about that, and so this year, it must have been in March or April, I took it to get serviced, and they did the servicing on it and sharpened the blades.
Yeah.
And
they'll handle it for you. That's good.
I could tell immediately it runs way better and it cuts way better.
How much did it cost?
It's like $75.
Yeah, so I was going to say like $80-$90.
Because I feel like my lawnmower was like $175.
Okay.
So I just got a fresh build.
So you have never changed your oil or anything?
I've changed the oil once. Not on this one. We'll just run it until it goes.
No, because
wait. I've changed the oil once. Yeah, not on this one. But
Change the oil. No, on this one. But I poured a little more at the beginning of the year. Yeah. All right.
How do you know... Like, I didn't know this until this is a while back, too, because you told me, like, if you see those white tips, in your grass, and that's it's pulling it, not cutting
it. Yeah, it's ripping the grass rather than cutting
it. And
grass.
I was like, man, I remember Gordon telling me about this, and I was seeing that. I was like, you know what? I'm going to go take it to get serviced. And sure enough, man, like it is.
Looks so much better.
It actually does matter. Well, 100%.
And your grass is so much healthier for it because when you rip the tops of it off rather than cut it, the grass can't heal properly, and it allows in a lot more disease and pests and stuff, and it kind of weakens the immune system, if you will, of the grass.
I can tell. So now I'm probably going to take it before every
season. You should do it
and go get it serviced.
Yeah,
because it's affordable, and I mean it runs. I could tell it. I can't even describe you how much better it's like a brand new mower.
Because I'm bad about waiting.
It's fantastic.
I wait too long to cut my grass too. Like it's too tall, and then I have to like. I had to do real beating. I have to back up and go back over it. And, or else it'll stop going.
Which is also horrible for your lawn. Because you're only supposed to cut off no more than a third of the grass height at a time.
I'm doing way more than that.
So, yeah, if you're cutting it off half of how high the grass is, it's horrible for you. And I see people doing that all the time. They like a nice... And St. Augustine grass should be kept taller.
Yeah.
You don't cut that really short.
So we had that at the last house, and I took very good care of my St. Augustine because I like to walk out there in my bare feet. But with I think we have fescue or something now.
Mm-hmm. So how often do you
wispy.
Mow?
About once every 10 days or so.
Okay. Maybe 2 weeks. I mow at least once a week because I can't stand it. I like to see it look nice, so I
our front yard doesn't get crazy because it
all
gets
the time.
Burned with sun. The backyard is what gets just untenable. So the front yard will look mostly presentable, and then the backyard is all covered up. I don't have to worry about it.
Do you have a sprinkler system?
I do. We haven't had to run it as much.
You don't have one?
Nope.
Do you water your grass?
It rains.
Oh, no.
Well, I haven't turned mine on this year yet because we've had good rain. So I've had it off. But we're getting there.
I went with one of those smart sprinkler controllers.
Yeah.
That was kind of a game changer for me.
You do it on your phone?
Yeah, it works on the phone, but it also, you know, it knows if it's rained in the area, so you never have to mess with it.
Yeah.
Never have to mess with adjusting it.
Mine claims to have that, but I don't think it really works, because it would literally be raining in the morning with the sprinklers going. So I don't know that the sensor was working all that well.
It is kind of interesting, because when I was living in Alabama, no one had a sprinkler system, because it rained so often there, and when we moved into our house there, I was like, is there not a sprinkler system here? And the person had... What do you mean? Like, you're going to, sprinkle the yard with water? and they're like, get a sprinkler and put it out there? I was like, no, it's underneath the yard, and there isn't one in this home.
They had no idea.
No, they didn't know what I was talking about. They'd never seen one before. Because in that part of the Southeast, especially in the summer, Florida's the same way, where it generally will rain at some point almost every day. These pop-up showers that happen so often in the afternoons, your yard gets some water. Almost every day.
So would businesses not have this either? They wouldn't have the...
Not that I could see. I mean, maybe they did, but I don't really... Like, I had friends who had never heard in their life of a sprinkler system. Didn't know what it was.
Jeez.
Yeah, because no one out there had one. But it's like basements. People out there have basements. Yep. And I didn't see a basement until I was in my 20s when my mom and dad lived up in Ohio for a brief period of time. And they had a basement under their house, and it blew my mind. Yeah. I had never seen one before.
My family in Missouri with the split level house, it's not like a basement per se, but there's an underground element to the home. And the first time I saw that, I was blown away. Like, this is great.
Yeah, I think those are cool.
Yeah, and it's like 10 degrees cooler down there. Yeah. It's great. I love those.
It is, when you live in different parts of the country and you talk to people who have never lived anywhere else, and they just have no concept, because they thought it was weird that I didn't... Because I knew people in Alabama that had basements, and I thought it was the coolest thing. And like, man, have you not been around basements? I was like, no. Like, so they don't have, and they don't understand.
Have you not been around basements?
Right. Well, they're like, so no one in Texas has basements. I'm like, well, maybe some people do.
Very
no one. I had never seen one. I'd never heard of anybody having one.
Is it just because of our soil and the ground around here? Because it's not like we don't have a reason for basements. We get terrible weather and tornadoes fairly regularly.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the...
it's got to be the soil, right?
What the story is. I know that the soil would be very bad and hard on basements here.
Because we have super rocky terrain here, so I wonder if
we have foundation issues so bad.
We just have soil movement.
Yeah. Yeah. Without
clay
basements.
Soil.
Yeah. It's the soil. It's just too hard to dig that deep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Because having a basement would be awesome.
My aunt had like a Twister style. It was just a hole in the ground with a door on it, and it was supposed to be a storm shelter, but it was filled to the brim with water.
So creepy.
Oh, it gave me the worst. Was that thalassophobia or something? Like, it just, it terrified me when I was a kid.
What? What is that?
Thalassophobia. It's like the fear of deep water.
Really?
In open space or something like that, I think is
the fear of deep water. Like, the ocean freaks you out?
Yeah, the voids in the ocean do.
Have you ever watched Open Water?
Yeah, one time.
Boy, that's such a great movie. I thought that was such a great concept.
Yeah.
And it makes
for
sense.
A horror
it's
movie.
Sort of based on a true-ish story.
Yeah.
It makes sense because I've gone snorkeling before in like the Caribbean where you don't, when your face is down and you're snorkeling and you look up and the boat is way over there. Like, how the heck did
that
I get this far away?
Out. Yeah, I know.
That's creepy.
Me out.
For those who haven't seen that movie, it's about a couple who goes snorkeling or scuba diving. I can't remember. And the boat leaves them.
Yeah,
they didn't do the proper head count.
Right.
The guy got distracted or whatever, didn't do the head count. And so they get left out in the ocean, open water, and it's about them trying to survive. And you would think that you can't make, there's no set change or anything.
Right.
It's just these two people just hanging out in water for, you can't sustain that for an hour and a half.
And if I remember,
but it's awesome.
If I remember correctly, it ends pretty anticlimactically too.
Yeah,
where
which
it's just
makes
like a
it
pan
even,
out.
Which makes it even more creepy.
I mean, there's no way they'd get rescued because even if the boat
they were
realized
there.
It, by the time they went back to that spot, they would have drifted who knows how far.
Right. Miles, yeah.
You'd be gone.
That's what's so great about it.
Man.
It's so great.
Oh, no.
All right.
Okay. Yeah.
Throw it up. Thank you, Gordon.
Thank you. Guys.
Man.
What do you know?
Thalassophobia.
Thalassophobia.
Yeah.
Is that right? Did you check on that? Make sure it's right?
Yeah. Yes, because
Matt usually checks
on
my
Greek for sea. Fear of sea.
Fear of sea.
Fear of sea. Okay.
I guess thalass is sea in Greek.
Oh, I got that right.
What's muser in Greek?
All right.
Thanks, Gordo.
Next.